Acts 14:8. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed. We're on verse 10 of Acts 14. Said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would help us as we continue on this first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and others that were on it. We pray, Holy Spirit of God, again, that you would convict that one that is still trusting in something other than the living God for their salvation, that today would be the day of their salvation. I pray that you would help us as believers to continue on the path that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and we'll let you be seated. I'd like to take this text of Scripture down through verse 22 and really speak to you on that one word, and that one word is continue, the word continue. We are looking at, I don't know that I've said it in this way, I think maybe I have, what we are covering in the book of Acts is called the first missionary journey of the Apostle Paul. I thought it might be a good idea for you to see a map of the missionary journey kind of as we get into the message this morning. And so we're going to put that map up on the screen, and I'm going to hopefully disappear because you don't need to see me. I want you to see the map. And on this map, I want you to look to the far right of the screen, and you will see a blue line starting at Antioch. You should be able to see that. And you notice that it says, "The church at Antioch send Paul and Barnabas on a missionary journey." This is Acts chapter 13, where we were covering that. That's when this begins. And you can see the blue line goes over to Cyprus, the island, and they go to Salamis and then Paphos. Follow the blue line, if you will, and you see it. They go to Perga. And then, remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about when they went to Antioch, Pisidia, and that's also in Acts chapter 13. And then last week, we looked at the journey to Iconium and Lystra, and now we find ourselves today in Lystra. Excuse me, we're in Lystra today, and in our reading, and then eventually at the end of the text, they will be in Derbe, and they will be starting their journey back, eventually ending at Antioch, going back to Antioch to let the church know. So it's kind of, if you wonder, you know, how do we have the idea today? We can leave the map up there just for a little bit longer, Brother Joey. And, you know, how does missions, how does it work? And where did it all begin? Well, it began right here. The plan for missions did not start in the 21st century. You know, the plan for missions did not start 100 years ago. You know, the plan for missions started in the book of Acts. And the church would send out the missionary, in this case, Paul and Barnabas, and they would go out, and they would go. And obviously, things happen a little bit different today because of the way that we get around. They didn't have an airplane. They didn't even have a car, of course. You know, they had 2 feet and a camel, possibly a donkey. But the principles were the same. They would go to one city and then the next city. And we've been studying and we've been learning about that. And I wanted to take the time in the beginning of the message today to show you this map and also to encourage you, those of you that are new maybe to church or new to the Christianity, to realize that as we talk about missionaries every Wednesday night, I want you to be reminded that this is Paul. This is what Paul did. This is what Barnabas did. And so there was no postal system maybe like today. There was no email, of course, like today. And so what did they do? They went all the way back around. They went back and checked on all those believers. And then they would end up going back to Antioch to complete missionary journey number one. And so this is exactly the pattern that is being followed in 2021. Churches are to be sending out missionaries wherever God has called them and the Holy Spirit is leading them. And what are they to do? Just continue. They're to continue the pattern that has been set before them from the Word of God. They're to continue to go with the gospel, and they let us know. They report. They send a prayer letter. They send a praise report. They send a financial need, and on it goes. But this is the missionary journey from two chapters, Acts 13 and Acts 14, which we're going to finish up soon, probably next week, if that's where the Lord leads us. But this is the cities. This is where they were going. Now, kind of look at it as well. I also wanted to point out, notice some modern day, or what we would say modern day places on that map. You see way down at the bottom, it's not modern day, but it's still something today in our thinking, is Egypt. You see the Mediterranean Sea, and you see the Aegean Sea. And so you can kind of get an idea of where Paul was preaching and teaching along Greece. Is up in the top left-hand corner there. Modern-day Greece would be up there in the left-hand corner. And he would eventually be there as well. But this is missionary journey number one. So I hope that gives you a little bit of a visual. You can find things like that online. Some Bibles have missionary journey maps in them. And it's something that, as we study the Word of God, it's something that we want to do, not just hear and listen and move on. We want to kind of see where they were going, the cities they were going to. And we also want to recognize that this idea, this concept of missions isn't new. You know, missions, I've heard said, is the heartbeat of God. Missions is the heartbeat of God. What do you mean? The Bible says in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And it's a high, holy responsibility in Anchor Baptist Church. So far, we have one family that we've sent from our church to go to the mission field. And we're praying for more. We're praying that God would raise up more men and more women and more young people to be sent by Anchor Baptist Church to go to the place where God has called them. And I'm so thankful that we have a book called the Bible to pattern everything we do in ministry and in life after. Can you imagine if we just had to figure out what to do for the church and how to do church just on our own? Can you imagine what that would be like? Well, some churches try to do it that way, and it doesn't work out too well. You know what we need to continue to do at Anchor Baptist Church in the next 20 years, should the Lord tarry his coming? And we still have a few weeks in the first 20 years to finish here, but we need to continue. We need to continue to follow the biblical pattern laid out before us in the Word of God. Okay, let's take a look at our text today, and I want to point out five things in this story that jumped out at me, that God challenged me with, as we consider the journey now heading to Lystra. Heading to Lystra. And so again, our theme today is one word, the word continue. Notice verse 8, the Bible says, or verse 7, they preached the gospel, and there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet. I've written in the margin of my Bible, this is a real need, a real need. And he's crippled from his mother's womb, who never had walked. Now you think about that, never. This isn't someone who got injured when he was 14 years old, and he's been in a wheelchair, or he's been on crutches, or he's been hopping around and limping around. This is someone who never took one step. This is someone who never experienced putting one foot in front of the other, and we don't know how old he is, but he's a man. We know he's probably in his adult years. However old he is, it really doesn't matter. And the Bible says he's listening to Paul. Verse number 9, he's listening to Paul. And Paul looks at him and realize, and he could see somehow supernaturally, that's going to be our first point here in just a minute, but somehow supernaturally, Paul was able to understand, and the Bible says perceive, that this man believed he could be healed. Maybe you ought to underline that. Do you have the faith to believe God can do anything in your life? Here's a man who never walked, and yet Paul looks at him somehow, and he's able to see into his heart. God gives him that revelation. God gives him that understanding that this man believes that God could heal him. And that's our first point, number one, is the revelation of the power of God. The revelation of the power of God. And Paul says, again, he doesn't use his inside voice. He uses his loud voice. And he says, stand upright on thy feet. Now think about this. He's never walked one step in his life. You see, when God does something, he does something completely. When God's power is unleashed, it meets the need completely. It doesn't say that he got up and stumbled around and stammered around and was able to get it. No, the Bible says he leaped up, verse number 9, verse 10, he leaped up out of his city. I've tried to imagine that this week. I've tried to kind of think about what that would have looked like. A guy is in crumbled on the ground, you know, and he can't walk. Or maybe he's laying on his side and just, I don't know, did he kind of get his legs under him? Or was he able to jump up from a sitting position? I don't know. But in some way, he leaped up immediately and began walking immediately. And the Bible tells us here that when the people saw what Paul had done, they thought, wow, what's happened here? We're going to talk about that here in just a minute. But here we see the revelation of the power of God. I want to encourage you today that we still have the revelation of the power of God, and that is in the Word of God. I hold in my hands the power of God. If you have a Bible, you hold in your hands the power of God. This is the revelation of the power of God. It is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It is foolishness to them that believe not, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. And so we don't have the miraculous ability that God gave Paul in this instance to heal. We believe this is a sign gift that was given early on in the beginning of the church age. But we have the completed written word of God. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that when this has come, we can have all the power we need. And that which is in part shall be done away when that which is come. And we believe some of the sign gifts were done away. Why? Because we have the full revelation of God. This is the power of God. Do you need power in your life? There's power in the Word of God. And secondly, there's power in the changed lives that we have because of the Word of God. You see, God's Word comes in and it transforms us. God's Word comes in and it remakes us. God's Word comes in and it takes us from being a crumbled up sinner and on our way to hell. And when God's Word comes in and saves us, immediately we are breathed new life. Immediately we have the Holy Spirit of God. Immediately we can begin to walk with God. You see, this man immediately began to walk. And when God's power comes into our life and saves us, we can immediately have communication with the Holy God. There's no process involved in salvation. As this man was healed, it wasn't a process. He wasn't able to get up on one knee and then a couple days later get up on two knees and a couple days later get up on one leg, you know, hop around on one leg. No, immediately. Why? Because the power of God. When God works, he works completely. And the day, the moment, the hour that you got saved, I want you to think about it right now. When did you get saved? When did you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Was it last week? Was it 10 years ago? Was it 5 years ago? Was it 20 years ago? Are you still lost? Are you still on your way to hell? I want you to know something, sir. I want you to know something, teenager. I want you to know something, young lady who's lost and not saved today. You are like that man. You can't walk. You can't walk with God unless you have the Spirit of God. You aren't going to walk into the gates of pearl and on the street of gold unless you come by the way of the cross. And today you can be saved. Today you can be redeemed completely. You see, salvation is instantaneous. Why? The power of God. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. As God's child, you and I, because of the power of God changing our life and giving us the Holy Spirit of God, we can enter into His presence anytime and bring our anxiety to Him. We can enter into His presence and bring our cares and concerns to Him, as Peter writes, to cast all our care upon Him, for He careth for us. This is the revelation of the power of God. But then notice something takes place in verses 11 to 15 that could have been detrimental. You know, here's something I was thinking about. Satan uses whatever he can to stop the work of God. Do you believe that? Satan will use whatever he can. Think about it. Satan uses persecution. We've already seen that, haven't we? He tries to use persecution. He tries to thwart this missionary journey with persecution. They've escorted him out of town. We don't want to hear anything you have to say. And they knock the dust off of their feet as they left town there in verse 51. As they left, where were they leaving? Not Iconium. They were on their way to Iconium. They're at the end of chapter number 13. And they kept going, though. And so Satan uses persecution. Satan can use, and he can try to get us distracted by different things even today. And even all through the Bible, we can read about that. In church history, again, if you've never read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you've got to get a copy of that book, and you've got to read what it says, history in that book, and how all through history, people have been persecuted, and it hasn't stopped today. And by the way, I'm not referring to Canada. Oh, it might be coming. I'm referring to places in the world today that it is complete. There's no internet service like this, because they'll find wherever you are and you'll be in jail before the service is over. I'm talking about persecution where if you're found in certain countries with a copy of the Bible, you might have your hand chopped off. See, Satan uses whatever he can to thwart the Word of God. But you know what I notice here in this text? Satan is trying to use pride. It's the other end of it, right? Persecution is kind of down here, right? It's painful and difficult. And then the other end, though, is pride. And I believe, number two, we find the refusal of pride. Look what happens. And when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." I mean, let's just put it down on the bottom shelf, okay? You know, if somebody were to think you were a god, in the flesh, that could be that could burst our head, that could make our head get pretty big. So I think here is Satan in the midst of persecution. He's inserting a little bit of an opportunity now. Let's see if I can get Paul and Barnabas to think they're something. Verse number 12, they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people crying out, saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." This miracle was accepted by the citizens of that city, the city of Lystra, heathen, pagan people in the city. They're not in the synagogue. Okay, that's where they were going before, remember. And remember what Paul would use when he would go into the synagogue with the religious elites? Remember what he would use? He would use the Old Testament. Okay? He would speak about things that they knew about. Well, he's dealing with a completely different clientele now. This is not the religious elites. This is the pagan people of the city of Lystra. And so here it is. They think the gods have come down to them. And they name him Jupiter. Another name for that is actually Zeus. And Paul, they named Mercury, or another name is Zeus, the chief of the gods, and Hermes, the messenger of the gods. This is what these pagans were doing and titling Paul and Barnabas. And all of a sudden, in the middle of it, there's a sacrifice that's about to be made. Isn't it amazing that even these pagans know that a sacrifice is to be made to a God? This gives Paul an amazing opportunity to take advantage of the thinking of these people, and that's what we see in verse number 17. He takes an example to preach the Word of God. Now, he did not preach the Old Testament as he did before. I've mentioned that already. But what does Paul talk about? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. He talks about the things in nature. He says, look, hold the phone. We're like you. We're just like you. We have like passions. But there's one that we have been preaching about that you need to turn. I know I've had you turn to Romans. Stay there. I'll be there in just a minute. That you need to turn from these vanities. You need to turn from these traditions. Repentance. And you need to turn from this false belief. And you need to turn to the living God. Again, they understood the example of sacrificing. They just had it all mixed up and around in their thought process. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse number 20. The Bible says, read verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. It was already known in these people of Lystra, the concept of God. It's been made known in every human being that has ever been born, that there is a God. Again, because of this sign of what they're doing, so then Paul capitalizes on that. Verse 20 says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are, and I've underlined these words, clearly seen. Being understood by the things that are made. Who made them? God did. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what it is. What are they without, church? Excuse. Talked about that on Wednesday night. They're without excuse. As we go back to Acts chapter number 14, Paul speaks to them about what God is doing in their life. Letter number 2, I said the refusal of pride. So I think I've started to preach number 3 already. Number 2 is the refusal to pride. And I just want to, before I get moving on to number 3, I want to encourage us and challenge us once again. God resists pride. It doesn't matter how small or big, God resists it. Nobody wants to be resisted. And that's why Paul said, no. No, stop right there. We're just like you. Number 3, this leads me to the reminder of who God is. Why was it, what do you mean a reminder, Pastor Turner? That was already in their heart. It was already in their heart. We just read that in Romans chapter 1. Paul says, we've been telling you the message. We've been telling you the message that God is not a part of mythology. We've been telling you the message that God is not Zeus or Hermes or these other names, Jupiter and Mercury. No, we've been preaching to you the message that God is alive and God is in control and God has created everything that you see. He made the heaven, verse 15. He made the earth. He made the sea. He made the things that are therein. The preaching continues to the reminder of who God is. And can I encourage you with that today, that whatever it is that you might be dealing with right now in your life, don't forget who God is. Don't forget that God spanned this world and spoke this world into existence, and God's continued to keep this world going for thousands and thousands of years, and God can take care of your little life. And I'm not saying you're little. I'm just saying in the scope of things, believe me, God can handle it. Don't forget who God is. God is your heavenly Father. He created this universe, but He also created you in His image. Don't forget who God is. God has done everything, but God has also given you health and strength today. The reminder of who God is. Verse 16, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. God doesn't force anybody. Pastor Nathan was mentioning this at RU. God doesn't force anyone to receive Him. If you want to walk away from God, God loves you. You have to receive Him by faith. No one can twist your arm. Now we praise the Lord for conviction. And that's what we pray, right? For people that aren't saved, we pray that they would be convicted by the Holy Spirit of God. The Word of God brings that. But oh, today, if you're going to continue to reject God, God still loves you and God still wants you to come to Him, but God's not going to force Himself on you. He's given us His Word. He's given us creation. He's given us so much light. He's even put it on our hearts. So, don't let anybody tell you if God was truly a God of love, then this. No, don't let anybody tell you that. You need to be able to take somebody to the Bible and show them why God is a God of love. Because He's written His existence on every heart. The problem is, keep reading in that text in Romans, that man has pushed Him out. And man has rejected Him. Why? Because man loves man. It's pride, isn't it? It's the problem. Notice verse 17. Nevertheless, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good. In other words, Paul is telling them, look, even though people rejected God, God was still good to them. You know, the Bible says that it rains on the just and it rains on the unjust. Turn over quickly to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. You were just in Romans 1. I should have had you keep your finger there, but look at Romans chapter 2, please. Thank you for listening. Notice verse 2. Why is God good to the pagan? Why is God good to me? Right? And that could be all of us. Notice verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of His, what's the next word? Goodness. Paul said over here, that He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good. Despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God, leadeth thee to repentance. Paul says, God did good. God let it rain from heaven, verse 17. God gave us fruit when we needed fruit. God filled our hearts with food. God filled our hearts with gladness. And the Bible says in verse 18 that with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. They stopped the process of sacrificing to these men. The reminder of who God is. The revelation of the power of God, the refusal of pride. Oh, I hope today that maybe if pride is in your life in any form or shape, you repent of that and get right with the Lord. I hope today that you be encouraged to as a reminder of who God is and what God has meant in your life and how God, if you're still breathing today and you haven't been saved, then by the goodness of God, would you be led to repentance today? Then number four, we see in this event, the religious zealots attack. Isn't it something that the people from Antioch and Iconium couldn't just stay in their place and leave well enough? Look at verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, So they had been making their way to Lystra. They were on their own missionary journey, the wrong kind. And they start to speak into the ears of the people. The Bible says, persuading the people against Paul and against Barnabas. Again, I say that, you know, the devil doesn't like John and Romans hitting the entire province of BC. The devil doesn't like 110,000 postcards by the grace of God going. The devil's not going to say, oh, that 20-year-old church, well, I've tried to derail them. I guess leave them alone. No, I submit to you, he's going to send people from all over places, from every all points unknown, to whisper in your ear, to whisper in my ear, to discourage, to defeat, to devour, to divide, to destroy, and every other word that starts with a D, and he's going to try to do it and bring destruction to this church. I tell you what, we need to stand strong in these days in the power of God. That's why I said the revelation that we have is the power of the Word of God. It got so bad for Paul that they picked up rocks, the Bible says in verse number 19, and they stoned him. Think about the size of the rock that it would have to be to take someone's life. Okay? That's not one that's this big around, unless you were to take a whole dump truck load and put it on top of Paul. No. These are big rocks. The Bible says, supposing he had been dead. Some people believe, and if you want to write down this reference and read it another time, I tend to think there's a good possibility that Paul did die right here. Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 2 to 4, he talks about a situation that happened. Whether being in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. That's just something you can read later for time. We have to move on. The religious zealots attack. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. We will look at this verse quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul would write about it here. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Of course, he's writing. This is the end of his writing. It's almost over. His course has almost been run. He's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy, and he says, verse 11, persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. That's what we're talking about today, Lystra. What persecutions? Notice he says, I endured. But out of them all, notice, the Lord delivered me. Wow, isn't that great? The Lord delivered me. Paul would come out of this. And I love how it says there. I love how it says there in verse 20 that the disciples stood round about him. Who are the disciples? You know who the disciples are? The people that got saved in Lystra. You can't stop the power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Rocks can't stop it. Satan can't stop it. No one can stop it. It was just Paul and Barnabas here preaching, but there was a group of people that had been saved. Remember, the Bible isn't necessarily giving us everything that we need to know. It has to be that there's a group of people in Lystra that gathered around Paul. What they did, we don't know, but it says that they got up, but they stood round about Paul, and all of a sudden, Paul got up. Why? Because Paul said to Timothy, the Lord delivered me. And by the way, the Lord can deliver you. And the Lord is all-powerful, can deliver me. And I'm not talking about just hell. I'm talking about depression or discouragement or whatever it is that you're feeling like you've been, rocks have been coming down on you in a spiritual sense. God can deliver you from them all. And that's why we as disciples and believers, the picture here is rallying around someone. And we need to rally around people. And that's one of the worst parts of this whole thing, is we have very little opportunity to rally around people. I'm thankful for the opportunities we have had to rally around people and pray for them. And that's exactly what happens here. And all of a sudden, Paul gets up. Notice, he comes into the city. He goes back into Lystra. And the next day, he leaves to go to Derbe. This guy just got pounded with rocks. Surely he can have a day off. It's Monday, isn't it? No, he doesn't take a day off. He goes to Derbe. I mean, surely he's hurting. He could use help to work out all the pain. Verse 21. Number five, the mission continues. Let me give you that. The mission continues. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, what city? Derby. You see, the mission should always be the same. Preach the gospel. There's going to be some detours. There's going to be some things in between. There's going to be some challenges. But what do? We come back. We come back. When they preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, this is amazing to me. Have you ever thought about this? You've read Acts 14 probably, haven't you? If not, let's read it a little more. Let's read all this. Look, he goes back to Lystra. That's where he got stoned. I would have gone around it, right? You know, he probably walked by the pile of rocks on his way into town. Yep, there, yep, that's. And he goes back to Iconium, back to Antioch Pisidia. Notice verse 22. Confirming the souls of the disciples. What's he doing? He got all the way to Derbe, which was the end of the map that we looked at. And all along the way, there were believers. They got saved. There were people that got saved and became believers. They became disciples. And all along the way, on his way back, he's encouraging those new believers. What's he encouraging them to do? To continue in the faith. What better thing can we do for anyone who knows the Lord than to exhort and encourage them to continue in the faith? Wow, what a journey. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Boy, one word. Continue. I encourage you this morning. It's afternoon now. Continue. Continue in your Bible reading. Continue in your time with the Lord in prayer. Continue to share the gospel with people. Continue to encourage someone. Continue to reach out to people that you haven't heard from recently. Continue to pray for the church family. To pray for our missionary family. Continue. Let the rocks fly. Continue. Let the persecution come. Continue. Don't let pride trip us up. Continue. And realize that it's all because of the power of the revelation of God. And he's completely revealed himself all through life.